So this song is, it's so simple. We're going to sing in Swahili one first, and then we're going to go there. Hakuna Mungu kama wewe, Hakuna Mungu kama wewe, Hakuna Mungu kama wewe, Hakuna, Hakuna, Hakuna. Simple. And then you go, Nimetembea kote, kote, Nimetafuta kote, kote, Nimezunguka kote, kote, Hakuna, Hakuna, Hakuna. Can you rise up, please? Now, when you say Nimetembea, you like, Nimetembea is walking. Nimetembea kote. Now, Nimetafuta. You are searching. Nimetafuta kote. And Nimezunguka. Then you turn around. Nimezunguka kote. Can you try just in 1, 2 minutes? 1, 2, 3. Hakuna Mungu kama wewe. Hakuna Mungu kama wewe. Hakuna Mungu kama wewe. Hakuna, Hakuna, Hakuna. Try once more. Hakuna Mungu kama wewe. Kama wewe. Hakuna Mungu kama wewe. Hakuna, Hakuna, ha. Nimetembea, nimetembea kote, kote. Nimetafuta kote, kote. Nimezunguka kote, kote. Hakuna, Hakuna, ha. Nimetembea, nimetembea kote, kote. Nimetafuta kote, kote. Nimezunguka kote, kote. Hakuna, Hakuna, Hakuna. Now English. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. I've walked and walked all over, over, and turned, all over and over. I've searched and searched all over and over. There's no one like you. Hallelujah, that was good. Shall we pray, church? Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this beautiful day. We have snow outside. What a wonderful day you've given us, oh God, despite it's cold, but thank you for helping us to make it here in the house. We are thinking about Pastor Vicky. He's feeling quite not well. We pray that you continue to touch him and heal him, oh God. We also are grateful for the testimony we've heard about what is taking place in this city. God, you are God of the city. We thank you that the garden, in the Garden of Eden, that was the beginning. But the Bible ends with the revelation, which is the city. It talks about the city. You love the city. And we know this city belongs to you. Vancouver does not belong to Satan. It does belong to God Almighty. That's why we are happy what you are doing, O Lord God. We've been praying for revival. We've been asking you to touch and move and touch and help your people to know the truth. So, Lord, thank you for the anointing that is upon your servant even today. Lord, I'm standing before your people to speak your word. Use me for your glory's sake. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be seated, please. Thank you. As we sit, let's take our Bible and go in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. Acts of Apostles chapter 22. And that's the page 1341. 1341. That is the Bible in the pew. 1341. Acts chapter 22, 1, 3, 4, 1. You want to read from verse 1? I don't know if you will help me so that we can read together, please. Can we? 1, 2, 3. Aramaic brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. Oh, I hear myself reading. Can we go together? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Aramaic brothers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, They became very quiet. Then Paul said, I'm a Jew, born in Tarsus and Cilicia, but brought up in this city. Under Gamaliel, I was thoroughly trained in the law of our fathers and was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. As also the high priest and all the council can testify. I even obtained letters from them to their brothers in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, I came near Damascus. Suddenly, a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I asked. I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to me to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all men and what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. When I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying, and at the temple, I fell into trance and saw the Lord speaking. Quick, he said to me, leave Jerusalem immediately because they will not accept your testimony. We can even stop there. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the little topic saying the power in your testimony, the power in Christian testimony. Testimony. What is the testimony? This is a very big subject we can speak about, we can teach about, we can take even seminar and conference talking about testimony. Testimony, the power in Christian testimony. What is the testimony? The testimony is the word that is given by a person on behalf of someone. You stand for someone. You speak, you witness, you say something that you saw. And then you explain, and then you stand on behalf of that person. For example, let's say you witness about a car accident. You stand by the intersection, and you see this blue car hitting that black truck. And you are standing right there, then you are a witness. And you can go to the judge and say, Judge, I was there. The judge will ask you, do you swear to say the truth, nothing but the truth? You say, yes. Okay, tell us what you saw. You can say, I was standing there. It was 5:40 in the evening. This lady came from the south side and turned left on the red light and hit the black truck that was proceeding straight. You're off the hook. Then you can go and have your dinner or lunch. Testimony. Testimony is powerful. As a Christian, testimony is part of our responsibility. As Christian, testimony is part of our privilege. You testify what the Lord has done for you. Where we read here in the book of Acts, we find someone testifying. When you read that part of the testimony, it's so powerful, so good, so strong. And when you read it, you feel the impact of it. How he came to meet Jesus. How did Jesus change his life? How he was in his ways, living in his life, but then Jesus came and changed his life. Now, who is Paul? Who was Paul? Because here, Luke, the writer of Acts, is talking about what happened to Paul. Saul's name was not changed, was not changed to Paul, but in Acts chapter 13, verse 6 to 9, during the biblical accounting of Paul's first mission journey, Luke writes, then Saul, who was also called Paul, sometimes we think they change his name. In Acts chapter 13, verse 9, from this point forward, Luke only referred to the apostle as Paul. This shift does not reflect a name change, as they often been said, but rather a conscious decision of Paul's part to use a name he already had. So Paul is what we know as apostle, but he was also called Saul. Since Paul was a Roman citizen, he would have been given three names at birth. The third was Paul's Latin name, Paulus. Paul in Latin name was a better fit for the predominantly Roman environment. Saul the Pharisee chose to be known as Paul, citizen of Rome. You know, we have too many names, like myself. I have Cabimera. It's a quite a name that many people don't wanna hear it because it's so tall and long and kilometric. Cabimera. So when I spell it, it's a Kilo, Alpha, Bravo, Yankee, A, Eco, Michael, Eco, Romeo, Alpha. People say, wow, that's a long name. Then I prefer Sammy. So because Sammy is from Sam, and then, you know, Paul, Saul, but known in the good name as Paul. He was a Jew from the tribe of Benjamin, and he became an impassionate member of the Pharisees. If you read Romans chapter 11 from verse 1, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 to 5, and Acts chapter 23, verse 6. He came from the city of Tarsus, grew up in the midst of Greco-Roman culture, and was a Roman citizen. Acts says that in his young days, Saul was involved in persecuting Jewish followers of Jesus because he believed they were heretics. We know that story. He used to go after the followers of Jesus Christ and take hold of them and try to bring them to prison. Why? Because he did not believe in their faith. He was standing over the first Christian martyr, Stephen, looking on as Stephen was stoned to death. You know that story in Acts chapter 7, Acts 7 and 8, when Stephen was stoned because of his faith. Paul was among those who was there watching, and even the people who were stoning Stephen put their clothes on Paul. He was there because he was against that faith. Now you understand who Paul was. According to chapter 9 of Acts, verse 22 and 26, a conversion experience. Saul was traveling to the city of Damascus when he saw a bright light and heard Jesus' voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He fell from his horse, blinded. Days later, after a visit from the Christian disciple called Ananias, he recovered his eyesight and began to preach Jesus' gospel. That's how God can do. That's how the grace of God can bring someone from far to the light. I'm so blessed to hear the testimony of my friend here and brother that he decided one day to give his life to Jesus. That's how it starts, my brother. That's how it starts every one of us. You start by being convinced by the power of God in your life. You accept that you are a sinful person, that you are lost, that you need salvation, and you accept to call Jesus your personal Savior and Lord, and you surrender your life as you repent and accept the change. That's what happened to this man called Paul. So, beside Jesus, no single figure was more influential in the beginning of Christianity than the Apostle Paul. You see, 25 books in the New Testament and 13 are attributed to Paul. So we are interested in his testimony, the testimony of Paul. And as we say, the power in the testimony of a Christian. What power do we have when we give our testimony? It's important to know that the testimony of Christian, the testimony of a believer, is powerful. It's like a weapon. It's like a weapon. Number one, I put here, testimony leads to acceptance to the body of Christ. The testimony of a Christian leads to acceptance to the body of Christ, to the church. When I was leaving Uganda to come to Canada, I was a minister, ordained, serving God. I didn't want to come from Uganda just like that. I went to my overseer. I went to the pastor who was the overseer of the church. I told him, now my visa is ready. I want to go to Canada. Would you recommend me to go? Would you pray for me? He said, yeah. They made a special service. They prayed for us. And they recommend me by a very powerful letter. Wherever he will go, to whom it may concern, this is a man of God, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. Accept him in your church. Testimony, it's important. Your testimony is powerful. It gives you acceptance. Sometimes you can go somewhere and start speaking about Jesus. People will never accept you easily. Sometimes you need testimony. If you go back to the book of Acts chapter 9, verse 23 to 31, look at this. Acts chapter 9, verse 23 to 31. Paul wanted to speak about God. He wanted to speak about Jesus. But knowingly that he was before denying this kind of faith. He was a Pharisee, very zealous. He was against Christianity. He was there against the followers of Jesus. So if you read Acts chapter 9, verse 23 to 31, look at this. When he came to Jerusalem, that is Paul, he tried to join the disciples. But then they were all afraid of him. The disciples of Jesus were afraid of Paul. Why? Because they knew. The Bible says here, not believing that he really was a disciple, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, our testimony, the testimony, it can lead to the acceptance in the church, the acceptance in the body of Christ. You may go to, let's say you go to England, you travel, you go to China, you go to Africa, you go different place, and then you join one group or you join one church. The best you can do is to give your testimony. Hallelujah. The best you can do is to share how you came to believe in Jesus Christ. And then when you give your testimony, what happened? You become accepted in the community. You become accepted in the body of Christ. Because they can't just understand that you're Christian. But when you give your testimony, you are accepted. Look, Paul was known as a Pharisee, zealous to persecute the church. Even Jesus told him, why do you persecute me? But when he was saved, the disciple did not know that Paul has changed. Hallelujah. Now when he came, he wanted to join them. Now when he wanted to join them, they were relented to accept him because they knew he was after persecuting the church. So they were not happy to welcome him. But Barnabas gave the testimony, a good testimony about Paul. Hallelujah. Barnabas said, you know what? This man used to be useless in the Christianity faith, but now he is useful. He has been changed. He has been transformed. You can accept him. Why is he going to be, you know, taking us to the prison again? Barnabas said, forget that. He has not that power anymore. No more strengths. He's powerless in the thing of God, in the thing of the world. He's powerful in the thing of God. Powerless in the things of the world, but powerful in the thing of God. He can't take you to the prison anymore. The testimony opens the door to be accepted in the body of Christ. I would encourage one day our church would open the door to have a great service which is just focused on a testimony meeting. Testimony meeting, where we would come and hear how the Lord has changed one of us, how the Lord has changed your life, how you come to know Jesus, how did you come to accept Jesus Christ. That would be a wonderful service where you share your life, you share your faith, you share how you came to believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. Number two, your testimony is the best part of your message that will open up anyone to listen to you as it helps them to know you better. I want to emphasize this. Your testimony is the best part of your message, the best part of your sermon, the best part of your preaching is your testimony, because it will open anyone to listen to you as it helps them to know you better. When I stand here, you don't know, how did Sammy come to become a Christian? But when I reveal by giving my testimony, you'll know me better. Hallelujah. You'll know me better. That's why Paul in Galatians chapter 1 verse 11 to 17, we can read that. Galatians chapter 1 verse 11 to 17. The Bible says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I receive it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Verse 13. For you have heard, that's what Paul is saying, you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my father. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. You see, he's telling the church of Galatians, he's telling Galatians that he used to be persecutor of the church, but then by God's grace, he was changed. Now he is serving God. So that testimony is the best message Paul gave to the church of Galatians, and they could understand easily. Wow, look, he was a persecutor of the church. He was a pagan. He was not a Christian. Now he came to believe in Jesus Christ. Testimony is very important. It is powerful. Your testimony builds confidence to your listener as they hear the grace of God upon your life. When you speak, you give your testimony, your Christian testimony, how you became Christian, how you got saved. What does it do? It builds the confidence to your listener as they hear the grace of God upon your life. It's amazing what Paul is telling Timothy. We all know that Timothy was his son in faith. Timothy was his son in faith. Now, look what he's telling him here. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 14, the Bible says, the Lord's grace to Paul. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me the strength that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Look, when you are Christian, when you are saved, your testimony build the confidence to your listeners. Hallelujah. I'm grateful what God is doing through the ministry in downtown. But in order for us to keep this revival, in order for us to keep this revival flowing, testimony is part of it. Testifying about Jesus Christ is part of it. Because this group from state, they will go back to state. They will not stay here with us. And let me tell you this. It's good that we get ministers from outreach, from abroad. But the best part is we ourselves in the local area, that we go deep in that revival and get involved in that revival so that revival keep flowing. Hallelujah. Now, Paul, being a servant of God, what is he doing? He's telling Timothy, he's telling him that I was lost. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor of the church, but I got saved by God's grace. If you go down, he gave a powerful testimony, which is a powerful reason that the Holy Spirit will convince Timothy. What does he say? Verse 15. He says here, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I love this part. It shows how humble was Paul. It shows how humble Paul could even give his testimony without fear, without hiding anything. He said, among the sinners, I was the worst. Many times when we meet people, we tell them about Jesus. One of the reasons they advance, they say, I don't want to believe in Jesus now because my life is worse. Can't change. It's hard for me to change. I see that's, I'm not sure if Jesus can change my life because I'm even worse. But Paul is saying here, you are not. I'm the worst. Isn't it amazing when you see that some Christian, they humble themselves this way, say, you know what, I'm a sinful person. I was even worse. I was lost. I was spoiled in sin. But Jesus saved me. Look how the testimony is powerful. It gives the listener a strong conviction that if Jesus could save Paul, then he can save me too. If Jesus could save Sammy, then he can save me too. If Jesus could save this person, that sister, he can save me too. So you see, your testimony opens up the conviction to your listener. It gives a strong conviction to your listener. They'll hear, wow. Oh, you mean you are also in the same way? You are doing even worse? You are doing this and that? You are also in the world? And that is how far God changed your life? Oh, man, then I'm sure I can be saved too. Testimony is powerful. And it's a good weapon as a Christian that we can use to advance the gospel. If you read in John chapter 4, you know the story, John chapter 4, verse 39 to 40, the women of Samaritan women. The Bible says, men of the Samaritan from that town believe in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritan came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days, and because of his word, many more became believers. The testimony of that lady, she ran to her village, and she told the people of the village, remember, I met Jesus Christ. He told me about my life. That was a testimony. He told me about everything I did. That is a testimony. And when they heard that, it was, what? Well, let's go see him. And when they came, they got saved. Your testimony brings a strong conviction to your listener. Christian testimony is important, but it's only the proof that you are filled with the Spirit of God. It's a proof that you're filled with the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and you shall receive power when the Spirit of God comes on you, and you will be my witness, starting in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So Christians have testimony. Why? Because they have the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You do have testimony because you have the Holy Spirit. It is not by power, not by might, but the Spirit of God. When you got saved, you know that Jesus came in your life. Now that gives you authority. It gives you the power. It gives you the go-ahead to testify, to share what the Lord has done to your life. You saw, Paul was in a very dangerous situation in Acts chapter 22. But what did he do? He did not decide to preach because he was just in a terrible situation. Chaos. People wanted to stone him, to kill him. The only thing he could be doing was just to give testimony. He said, you know what? I'm innocent. It's not me. It's not my fault. I was on my way to Damascus, but someone came on my way. There was an accident, a collision with Jesus Christ. He saved my life. It's not my fault. It's him who changed me. Hallelujah. So he gave the story, the narration, what happened. On the way, the light came. He fell down, this and that, and then he got saved. Although they could not listen clearly because they were raged in satanic way to fight against him, but that was a powerful testimony. My brother, my sister, there is power in your testimony when you testify about the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, they overcome their accuser. They overcome the enemy by the word of their testimony. There is power in the testifying Jesus Christ. When you witness about Jesus, there is power in it. There is strength in it. Young people, sometimes you encounter with your friend and they don't want to believe in Jesus. But remember, if you tell, you share to them how the Lord Jesus has changed your life. Before I used to be this. Before I used to do this. Before I used to behave this way. But when the Lord changed my life, this is what has happened. Now when you testify, you share your story, it has a really great impact in people's life because they see change and they believe what you're saying. Well, some people say, no, I don't have testimony. No, you're wrong. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. You are a witness of Jesus Christ. We can testify what the Lord has done in our life. We were called for salvation. This left us with a great testimony ever. We were called to be witness, not to do witnessing. If it's a witnessing, then it's a shot off, a shot on. But we are to be the witness. He said, you'll be my witness. What we have to do? Just to relax and to be witness. And that's simple. Some people say, well, I don't know what I can say because I just don't believe I have that testimony. I have to ask you some questions here. For those who say, oh, I don't have testimony, you know, I can't testify. I don't know what to do, where to start. Just ask this question. How many were there, actually, they were there at the scene when Jesus saved and changed and impacted your life? Were you there? Were you there when Jesus came to your life and changed your life and transformed your life and impacted your life? Were you there? If you were there, then who is a witness? There you go. Question number two. If you were healed, were you there when he healed your life? Of course, yes. Were you there when Jesus saved you? If you are not, then who was there? Then you are not saved. Were you there when Jesus transformed you? Were you there when Jesus delivered you from the darkness to the light? You know, for this question, the answer is yes, I was there. So if you were there, it means you're saved. And then if you're saved, you have that testimony. You can share what Jesus did to your life. You can share, you know, we sing the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet is the sound. I once was what? Church, I once was, but now. Once I was blind, but now. So when you were blind, you didn't know. You knew you were blind. Now once you see, you know that you can see. So you have that testimony that I was lost, now I am saved. Everybody has a story to tell. There is a saying in English saying, tell your story, live your passion, and change your world. I'm telling you, brother and sister, the world is desperate to hear the story told. Every story that concerns your salvation is powerful. It's powerful because it was not made by a human being. It's God changing your life. Everybody has a story, whether it's, you know, sometimes we follow the movie, we follow the, this, we read the great book. That story, it's interesting because there is an interesting character in it. So when we talk about salvation, same thing, there is something powerful in your story. Your story is made up of your testimony, made up of your life experience. It's made up of your godly passion, and it's made up of good news, which is the message of salvation that we have been redeemed and we share it with the world. So one of the reasons that our story is so important is because everybody may not let you read the scripture to them, may not want you to preach them, but they can listen to your story. Hallelujah. They may not want you to preach. They may not want you to start quoting the
Bible verses to them, but when you tell them how you got from darkness to light, you explain them, they will be happy to listen. A story, witnessing, testimony. It's a relational bridge that you establish between two individuals that Jesus can walk from one heart to another. It doesn't matter how educated you are, people would like your testimony more than your sermon. The story has God delivering power in it. It is the future movie, what God has done on you and displaying it to the world. And that story has power to redeem the humanity. It's all about the story that he has given us to tell. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Lord all the day long. The story is your platform, your story. God has entrusted each and every one of us with a fascinating story, which is never be boring. You ask who will listen to your story. I'm not good in talking. I'm not good in narrating. I'm not good in giving the story. My friend, you say who will listen to your story? I'll ask you who will not listen to your story. Who doesn't want to hear the story of somebody who literally went through hell and high water? Who doesn't want to hear the story of somebody that the Lord has delivered from the negative things, shame, fear, disappointment, rejection from the world, thought of suicide, addiction to chemical substance, all kind of aberrant lifestyle? Who does not want to listen to that story? Who doesn't want to listen to that? Someone who just got saved from the spirit of suicide. You want to listen to that? How will that happen? How did that happen? That's a story how Jesus changed our life. The world wants to hear the story of someone that the blood of Jesus has redeemed. The story of real people who are not to share how the power of the gospel has changed their lives. Your testimony is the only true story where we clearly tell the world how God is able to change the world's people like us. Your story, the unique way to share to the world how God loves us more than we can even love ourselves. Testimony is powerful. Sharing what the Lord has done in your life is powerful. It's powerful, my brother. It's powerful. It's very powerful. But remember one point. I want to close by this. Remember this. In order for your story, for my story, to be this powerful, don't forget this point. In order for my story, your story, your testimony, my testimony, to be very powerful and has impact. Listen to this. Our daily lifestyle has to be the same as what we are saying. Our daily lifestyle will have to be in the same line with our testimony. I just want to give you this illustration as I'm closing this. They say, a Christian baroness living in the highland of Nairobi, Kenya, told a young national who was employed as her house boy. After 3 months, he asked the baroness to give him a letter of reference to a friendly sheikh some miles away. You know, sheikh is a leader of the Muslim. The baroness, not wishing the house boy to leave, just when he had learned the routine of the household, He offered to increase his pay. The lad replied that he was not living for higher pay. Rather, he had decided he would become either a Christian or a Muslim. This was why he had come to work for the baroness for 3 months. He had wished to see how Christian acted. Now, he wanted to work for the 3 months for the sheikh to observe the way of the Muslims. Then he would decide which way of life he would follow. The baroness was stunned as she recalled her many blemishes in her dealings with the husband. She could only exclaim, "Why? Why didn't you tell me at the beginning?" Our daily life, that is the power of our testimony. How we live, how we behave, how we solve problems, how we react. How do we react at that traffic light, this busy driving? Someone want to cut you off and then you honk. Someone wants you to give him a parking spot and then you are so rude, crude, harsh. That is how our testimony can lose its impact. Brothers and sisters, there is power in our testimony. Let's go outside there. Let's share our story. Let's share our story how the blood of Jesus has redeemed us. Let's share our story how Jesus has power to change even the very sinful people. The singer says simply, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." Your story has power to transform the world, but it's only powerful as your life that you live every day. God help you. God help me. Let us share a story. Let us know that we were called to testify the goodness of God. God bless you. Lord, we thank you. Paul was saying clearly in Romans that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to the Jews first, to Gentiles as well. Father, it's true. You have equipped us with the testimony, that wonderful experience that we had when you saved our life. You want us to wake up, to rise and share that to our brethren and sisters who are lost. Lord, thank you that the week is coming, the day are coming, that you're going to give us that strength, that power, that boldness to share clearly without fear how the Lord Jesus has changed our life. I pray that you bless this message and you bless all of us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.